Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies, theological reflections, and occasional talks of the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Reverend Mr. John Kerrigan, Deacon of the Catholic community. It is the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. The readings are from Cycle B.
Something that we've all hoped for, thought about, wished to be true, talking and sharing with Jesus, and getting direct and understandable answers to the mysteries of faith and life. And surely, high up on the list of questions is this one. You know, Jesus, what's the deal with this three persons, one God, the Trinity? Today, as we celebrate this feast of the Holy Trinity, and as a follow-up on my conversation with my new BFF, I want to say a few words about the central belief of our faith. 3 points, naturally. One, the Trinity is complex and mysterious. Two, the Trinity is simple and straightforward. The Trinity is here and now. First, the Trinity is complex and mysterious. For so many centuries, treatises on the Trinity were the Rubik's Cube of theology. Four relations, three persons, two processions, one God, no proof. This approach may be helpful for puzzle solvers among us, but unfortunately, this type of exercise has caused many other people to conclude that the Trinity is irrelevant. After all, if I were to tell you that we got a call from Rome and that the Pope had a recent revelation and that they're going to change, not three persons in God, but four, would this news cause you or me to rethink the way we pray? Would it lead us to reevaluate our relationships? Or alter the ways in which we make decisions? I don't think so. And really, that's tragic. Because the Trinity isn't just one doctrine among many others. It's the whole of Christian doctrine. Think about it. Here at Mass, from start to finish, we're surrounded by the Trinity. We bless ourselves at the outset using the three persons of the Trinity. In the Creed, we place all our beliefs in the context of this mystery. And at the Mass's conclusion, we sign friendship, for example. Truly, it's a mystery that we choose the friends we do. Friendship isn't solely rational. Hopefully, we don't distribute a questionnaire to potential friends before we decide which one is to friend. No, friendship is an affair of the heart, not solely of the head. It's a mystery. We live it. We're enriched by it. And we'd be poorer without it. Just like the Trinity. Second, the Trinity is simple and straightforward. We just listened to the account of Jesus telling 11 of his apostles that they are to use their power to make two new disciples. And that they are to do this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Elsewhere in Scripture, in the first letter of John, Jesus says simply, God is love. Summing up in this brief phrase the experience of salvation coming from God through Jesus in the Spirit. And God's love is a particular kind of love. The Greek word for it is agape, a love completely centered on the person who is loved. And what does this love look like in practice? Close friends of my family have this wonderful tradition. Each year on a child's birthday, everyone around the dinner table gets to say what they love about the birthday boy or girl. The recipient just sits there and soaks in the words and story of love from his or her parents, friends, and brothers and sisters. Now, you don't have to invoke the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to recognize this custom as a good illustration of God's self-giving love, agape. It's a love that empowers others to come alive and to thrive. St. Augustine, in his great work entitled On the Trinity, put it another way. He spoke of God as a lover, beloved, and of the love that existed between them. From all eternity, God has been a model of what perfect love is all about. An enormous explosion of self-gift, a self-gift that grounds all that exists. Third point, the Trinity is here and now. St. Paul tells us today that we've received an unbelievable inheritance. We have the chance to go through each day what Christ went through. We don't have to imagine that we're back in Jesus' time to have this experience. The most important story is the one that's being told here today, in the lives of each of us. When you and I have a personal relationship with the Trinity, we bear witness to the fact that God saves through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is seen most closely in the communion, the relationships with each other in love, in very concrete ways. So where does this leave us today? We do well to remember that we're embarking on the first week in ordinary time in the Church's calendar, a season during which we'll discover how to live more deeply the mission of Christ in our lives. It begins with Trinity Sunday. Because we're people of flesh and blood and intellect, our first impulse is to try to understand this mystery of faith, to find a proof for it. That's understandable. But we're also men and women of the Spirit, a Spirit who moves us beyond our flesh and blood demands, a Spirit who lives in us, transforms us, and is present to us in ways that we don't always understand. The satisfy me in trying to explain it.
Thank you for listening to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. Producer Father Isaiah Mary Milano OP, with our pianist Albert Tommaso and percussionist Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices at the third floor of Old Union. This is Father Isaiah Mary Milano OP, Associate Director, Parochial Vicar for the Catholic Community at Stanford and the voice of Catholic Cardinal Reflections. Till next time. God bless you.